Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.
Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This coming weekend, on every continent on earth and in thousands of different languages, people will be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Not only was Jesus resurrected, he is still alive. Today we continue with a series called, What is Jesus Doing Now? In this series, Pastor Rick shares what Jesus is doing in the world today. If you'd love to help the kids you know learn God's Word, then stay with us. Because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about God's Big Plans for Me, an easy-to-understand storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called, What is Jesus Doing Now?
Now, even before Jesus died on the cross, he was already praying for you. Did you know that? Notice these verses, John 17, verses 9 and following. He says this, I'm not praying for the whole world. This is Jesus praying. I'm not praying for the whole world. I'm only praying for those who you've given to me, Father, because they belong to you. Father, keep them and care for them. Circle that. Keep them and care for them. He's praying for all of our needs. Keep them and care for them so they'll be united just as we are. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to keep them safe from the evil one. And he says, I also pray for those who will believe through their testimony. Now, most of you listening right now have already stepped across the line. And you've asked Jesus Christ to save you, and you're already in the family of God. But there are others of you who are sitting here right now, and you know what? You're gonna make that decision to follow Christ and to become a part of his family in this service. Why? Because Jesus has been praying for you for a long, long time. And today is your day to say yes. I pray not just for those who are already in my family. He says, I pray for those who will believe through their testimony. What a beautiful verse. Now, Hebrews 7, 24 and 25 says this, because Jesus will never die, he'll never stop serving as our priest. He will always be able to save anyone who comes to God through him. What does a priest do? He represents God to people and people to God. And in the Old Testament, there are all kinds of priests. But in the New Testament, you don't need a priest anymore because Jesus is your priest. And he says, we come to God through him. Why is Jesus doing this? Because he's always interceding for us. Notice that verse. He's always interceding for us, asking God to help us. Did you know that God is constantly hearing Jesus say, help him, Lord. Help her, Lord. Help them, Lord. I want you to circle the word on that verse, interceding, okay? Circle that verse, interceding, okay? Because what does it mean to intercede? Intercede means to advocate for somebody. It means to advocate on the behalf of somebody. When you speak up for somebody on their behalf, you're interceding. And when you pray for somebody else besides yourself, that is called intercession. Anytime you pray for anybody else, that's called intercession. You are interceding for them. Now, during every moment of your life, listen closely. Jesus Christ has been interceding for you every moment of your life. So how are you going to do that? He's God. He doesn't get confused. He doesn't get circuit overload. He has been continually talking with God the Father about you your entire life and about things that you need in your life. That's how much Jesus loves you. Not only is Jesus called our intercessor, an interceder, but he's also called our advocate in heaven. That means every time you blow it, you stumble, you fall, you fumble, you sin, you fail, Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, leans over and says, Father, remember, I already paid for that one. I already paid for that sin. It's covered. That's what Jesus does when he's your advocate. I don't know if you know this, but this is new material for some of you. You may have never known that in heaven, the entire Holy Trinity talks about you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they have all been praying for you your entire life. They've been talking to each other about you your entire life. Why? Because they love you. You were made to be loved by God. God will never stop loving you. You can't make him stop loving you because God is love. Now, here's an interesting thing. The times that the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have prayed for you the most have been those moments in your life when you were in so much pain and so much confusion, you couldn't even find the words to pray yourself. You know what I'm talking about. There's sometimes you are so in agony and so confused and so afraid and so guilty and so full of grief and other negative emotions, you don't even know what to say. God says, that's when the Trinity's praying for you in heaven. Romans 8:26 says this. In the same way, in other words, just like Jesus intercedes for you. We just looked at that verse. In the same way, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helps us in our weakness. We often don't know what or how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us with deep feelings that words cannot express. In those moments, you're just going, God. The Holy Spirit's taking that and interpreting it, and he is expressing in deep emotion how you're feeling to the Trinity. So, now listen closely. I want to teach you a new way to pray this Easter. Many of us Christians grew up with the tradition of asking Mary or other saints who are already in heaven to pray for us. Pray for us, Mary. Pray for us, St. Thomas, St. Matthew, whatever. We ask the saints to pray for us. But follow this logic, okay? Listen to me real quickly. If you have already got God the Father praying for you and Jesus the Son praying for you, and the Holy Spirit all praying for you together, do you really need anybody else on your team? I don't think so. No. So here you just need to say this. Loving Father, dear Jesus, Holy Spirit, I need your prayer right now. I need your prayer right now. Say, I can really say that? Yes. Why can you say that? Because interceding for you is one of the tasks of Jesus that he says he's doing for you right now. And the Holy Spirit says so too. You can pray to Jesus. You can pray through Jesus. You can pray in Jesus' name, and you can even ask Jesus to pray for you. How about that? Now, there are two other things that Jesus is doing right now because he resurrected himself and at Easter and he's still alive. Here's number four, write this down. He is preparing a home for us in heaven. He's preparing a home for us in heaven. Now, Jesus promised he would do this even before he went to the cross. In fact, the night before he went to the cross, he wasn't even thinking about all the agony and pain he was gonna go through for your behalf. He was thinking about you. And this is what Jesus said right before he went to the cross. John chapter 14 on the screen. Jesus said, there are many rooms in my Father's home. He's talking about heaven. There are many rooms in my Father's home. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, he said, I would tell you plainly, I'm not gonna shine you on. I'm gonna shoot straight with you. If it weren't true, I'd tell you. But when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Now that's a promise of Jesus Christ to you. He said, I'm gonna go and prepare your room in heaven. Now here's the amazing fact. He's been taking 2,000 years to prepare an eternal home for us. Oh my goodness, what kind of decorating job is that? Now, a God who can create the universe with a big bang, boom, and then speak it, and the whole universe comes into existence, and yet he's taken 2,000 years already to prepare heaven, it's gonna blow your mind. In fact, it's gonna be nothing like you could possibly imagine. In fact, I cannot even explain to you how cool heaven is gonna be. I've used this illustration before. You and me have a limited brain capacity as human beings. We live in a three-dimensional world. There are dimensions out there we don't even know about because our brain capacity won't hold us. You trying to understand heaven would be like an ant trying to understand the internet. It doesn't have the capacity to fully understand it. In fact, you're not gonna understand. In fact, every single example that you've seen of heaven, like in movies or on TV, is dead wrong. So just throw out any idea you've had of heaven. Why? Because you can't even understand how cool it's gonna be. I mean, the typical image of heaven is everything's white, you're walking in fog machines up to your knees, okay, on clouds, wearing a robe, playing a harp with a halo. That would be hell. If that's heaven, I'll just stay at Laguna Beach if you don't mind, okay? It's a whole lot cooler there. Now, think about this. The world's a pretty cool place. I've been in 165 countries in the last 40 years. I've seen some incredible sights. Sunsets and sunrises and waterfalls and mountains and jungles and all kinds of beauty. And the world is broken. This is an imperfect planet. It's broken by sin, and it's still pretty cool, even in all its brokenness. If it's this beautiful in a broken place, what is a place of perfection gonna be? You can't even imagine. I can't even explain it to you. In fact, that's what the Bible says. Look at this verse on the screen. No eye has ever seen, and no ear has ever heard, and no mind has ever imagined the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. It will blow your mind. I can't even explain it to you. It's gonna be so cool. But that's what heaven's gonna be. You've never seen it. You've never heard it. You can't even imagine how great a place of perfection is gonna be. But I do know this, friend. I want you to be there with us. I want you to be there to enjoy that place of perfection. But it's not automatic. God wanted to create a race of individuals who are given a choice to love him. He doesn't force you to love him. You can choose to love him or choose to not love him. And some people today on planet Earth go, I don't want to love him. God says, have it your way, Burger King. But if you're saying have it your way, then he's saying have it your way for eternity. Why would you not want God in your life now, but would want him in eternity? That doesn't make sense. But he says, you've got to join God's family to get into God's family home. And that's by putting, that's a choice. He doesn't force you. It's a choice to put your faith and your love in his son who came to save us. But that's what he's been doing. He's been preparing that home. And I just can't imagine how cool it's gonna be. And the more of my family, mom, dad, brother, I've got a son there, I've got lots of friends, and the more of my friends in heaven, the sooner I want to get there. There's one other factor, though, that Jesus has been doing, and it's he's not just building, he's not just protecting, he's not just preparing, he's waiting. And this is the last thing, write this down. Before Jesus comes back, he's waiting for us to finish our assignment. That's the fifth thing. He's waiting for us, you and me, to finish the assignment he gave us. Now, as a pastor, I could not count the number of times in the last 40-something years that I've watched people take their last breath. I have been at the bedside and in the hospital or in homes when a lot of people stepped from this side of eternity into the other. And you know what I've learned as a pastor? That last words are important. That you better listen when somebody's saying their very last words before they depart earth and go into eternity, because they're pretty important. Right before Jesus went back to heaven, he gave his last words. So that the most, if he wanted to say anything more important, he would have said it. But the last thing Jesus said, you know, he died on the cross, 3 days later, rose back to life, then spent 40 days, the next 40 days, walking around the streets of Jerusalem, which is why so many people came to Christ so quickly and the church exploded from just a dozen or so people to hundreds of thousands and then millions. Why? There were so many eyewitnesses. He didn't just come back to life and then go back to heaven. He stood around in Jerusalem for 40 days, talked to people, one time met with a group of 500 people. Lots of people saw him. And so it was a very well attested to event, and that's why it spread rapidly over the entire Roman Empire. But right before he goes back to heaven, he says to one group that are meeting with him after the resurrection, he's getting ready to go back to heaven, and Jesus gives what's called the Great Commission. That's the instructions he gives to everybody in God's family. It's not for priests, it's not for nuns, it's not for pastors, it's not for bishops, it's not for monks. It's for you and me, normal people, normal people. And here's what he says. This is called the Great Commission. The last words of Jesus before he goes back to heaven, Matthew 28. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Well, duh, you're God. So you created the universe, you have the authority over it. He's saying, I'm just telling you, I got the authority to authorize you, and what I'm about to do is authorize you for a huge assignment, and I want you to complete it. He says, therefore, because I have all authority, you're going in my name, go now and make disciples of every nation. What's he saying? Spread the good news. Tell everybody about how much I love them, how I have a plan for their life, how I want them to be a part of my family. Make them disciples of every name. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them to do everything I've commanded you. And be sure of this, I'm always with you. I'm always with you. Now Jesus says, since I've got all the authority and I'm in charge of history, I am authorizing you for the very big assignment that I want you to complete before I come back. You know, Jesus is coming back a second time. It's called the second coming of Jesus. In the Bible, there are more verses about Jesus' second coming, which hasn't happened yet, than his first coming at Christmas 2,000 years ago. Far more verses in the Bible about the second coming. He says, this is the assignment for everybody in God's family. We are to pass on the good news to everybody else. Why? Well, there are three reasons. Number one, I mentioned it earlier, God wants a big family. So if you're in it, he wants you to bring somebody else in it. He wants you to tell somebody else. He wants you to pass on the good news. He wants a big family. Second, it's criminal if we don't share it. Follow the logic on this. If I knew the cure for Alzheimer's, and I knew the cure for AIDS, and I knew the cure for cancer, and I used it to heal myself, and I didn't tell anybody else in the world, that would be the ultimate act of self-centeredness. It would be criminal, and they should put me in prison for it, because I'm intentionally causing the death that could have, of many millions of people could have been saved from it. And yet we have something better than that. If you're in God's family, we know how to have your past forgiven, everything you've ever done wrong forgiven, get a purpose for living, you're not here by accident, and have a home in heaven. Who else is gonna offer that to you? Nobody. The government can't offer it to you. Cable TV can't offer it to you. Only God can offer you past, present, future salvation. And this is the greatest news in the world. If we kept it a secret, that's criminal.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. You'll get hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick delivered to your inbox every day. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." How do we bring children to Jesus? Well, the best way is to read the Bible with them. You know, when my kids were growing up, I could always see their excitement about Jesus grow every time we read stories from the Bible together. Now, I see that same excitement when I read the Bible with my grandchildren. I love teaching them at such an early age that God created them for a purpose, that they are not an accident, that they matter to God, and that He has a special plan for their lives. So I'm excited to tell you that I've teamed up with a very gifted children's illustrator to prepare a new Bible for children. It's called God's Big Plans for Me, Storybook Bible. Your kids will learn from God's Word in ways that are easy to understand. And long after they learn to read on their own, this storybook Bible is going to keep on encouraging them to trust in God's promises. The God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible contains 40 well-loved Bible stories that will help your kids learn how to apply God's Word to their lives. Each story is beautifully illustrated. It's incredible, and includes an introduction from me that encourages them to discover God's great purpose for them. It's fun, it's effective, it's entertaining, it's challenging, it's captivating. It's a great way to introduce children to God's eternal truths. Now, I'll send you this Bible for Children, God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, just as a way of saying thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope today. We depend on your gifts. I want you to have this as my thank you gift to you. I hope you'll get a copy for all the children in your life, your kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even children you know in your neighborhood. They'll all love this. We've had nothing but 100% great feedback from people who've seen the God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible.
This book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. And today, when you give a gift to help Pastor Rick's Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus Christ around the world, we'll send you a copy of God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible to say thanks. To get your copy of this great resource, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get God's Big Plans for Me Storybook Bible, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.